6:47, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. A case for consolidation.
Mm-hmm.
Don Grant, CFP, the money tracker, is with us in the studio this morning. Good morning, Don.
Well, good morning, Steve and Ted. Boo.
Boo.
You know, I challenge you to create a list in your mind, if you're driving, of course, of every investment or financial account that you have. This would include checking, savings, IRAs, health savings accounts, cash value insurance policies, annuities, incurred or past employers' retirement plans and accounts. And if you're like most, there are several accounts at several different institutions. It's kind of hard to manage your money when you're not sure exactly where it is. But think about it. If you're 30 or older, you've probably worked for multiple employers. You may have even had multiple financial advisors. With your investments spread across several institutions, do you have access to those accounts? Are you in touch with the advisors? If not, do you at least have login credentials to monitor and rebalance those accounts? Well, I can understand how we get in this position. When leaving a job, it is easy to keep that 401k where it is. Perhaps we opened an IRA online a decade ago, and we've just left it invested where it is. Once we started a relationship with a new financial advisor, we didn't want to hurt the old advisor's feelings, or we just forgot about them, so we just left the accounts there. Sometimes it's a conscious decision to spread accounts across several institutions. If you think that you're diversifying by doing this, well, you're just creating confusion. You're not protecting your investments more by spreading them out. If you hold stocks, bonds, or any type of fund, it doesn't matter where you custodian those holdings. They have the same market risk or protection, whether held through several institutions or whether held at just one. It's a big job. But a good financial, certified financial planner pro can help you work, to consolidate all accounts to one institution. That way, you can manage all to work together as per your plan. There's less danger of overweighting in one stock, sector, or fund. You may sleep better knowing exactly where your money is, what it's doing, and why. And of course, you have any questions, give me a call over at Sabre Wealth. The number is 267-0600.
You know, Don, from time to time, usually around Halloween, we will mention your movie, Monster in the Closet.
That's a scary thought.
And I think today I wanted to ask you a couple questions about it, a little bit more about it. Well, how old were you when you made that film?
I was in my early 20s, mid-20s, I guess.
Had you been already in the Navy, or had you been to
I'd already been in the Navy. As a matter of fact, it's kind of interesting because I was already in reserves with the Navy, and I had gotten my degree just prior to shooting the film. And I also got my commission as a naval officer, and they gave me my commission. They swore me on the set in San Francisco of Monster in the Closet when we were shooting it there.
What year was it made?
It was made in 83.
83.
Yeah. Right.
And does it still show now and then someplace?
If you look really hard. No, it occasionally pops up on streaming services. I think right now it's on Prime.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then a guy wrote a book about it.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Did I give you that book back?
I think you did.
Okay,
yeah. No, there. I got this. My daughter got this email from this guy in Spain who has written a few books on cult films. and he just had this absolute obsession with Monster in the Closet. And he reached out, and I ended up connecting with him. Actually, we're going to go over and visit him hopefully next summer. Nice guy, family, and everything, but a great writer. It's in Spanish, and I provided probably 30 or 40% of the photos that are in there just because I had taken a lot on the set. But no, it's apparently a good book. I can't read it because I don't.
Well, what was it like? Who was the director? Was somebody big?
A director by the name of Bob Dolan, who was a first assistant director for Robert Altman on a number of films.
Oh, really? Okay.
And actually, Bob had won an Academy Award for a short tribute to Alfred Hitchcock about some of the techniques that he used, camera techniques and that sort of things. So
the film, you weren't working with a bunch of sluggos. You had three or four pretty well-known actors.
Oh, gosh. Howard Duff, Stella Stevens, John Carradine. Fergie was in it. The kid who played the professor was 11 years old. His name was Paul Walker, who's died.
Was Jesse White in that movie?
He was my editor. He played the editor of the Globe or whatever it was.
Pretty good cast.
Yeah.
It was a heck of a cast, and it was interesting to watch how they put this thing together.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they begged, borrowed, and stole to get this thing done. And then they lost money at the end and had to, unfortunately, you know, because at the very beginning, with that cast and everything, there were some big companies. Paramount wanted to buy it. Fox wanted to buy it. But Bob was afraid of losing control, as a director. He wanted the final cut. Well, unfortunately, that was fatal because they ran out of money because they were overshooting things because of their inexperience. But it ended up selling it to a group called Troma. At the very end, who probably put $100,000 into it just to get the special effects and get it finished.
But how long did it take to shoot it?
It took 16 weeks, and 16 it should have taken six.
Six, okay. And the last question I have is, do you still get the giant checks, residuals on that?
Oh, major checks. No, I don't know how much I get per airing, but no, I get checks. Sometimes I have gotten checks, and from other things as well, that are less than the postage it took to mail them.
Well, now, I know you did some TV in your career, so, drama, not just then you got on the anchoring and in that part of it, the newscast.
I'll be perfectly honest. What happened was, is I stopped getting booked for beer and trucks, and I was turning 30, and I finally smelled the roses or saw the light at the end of the tunnel, and said, you know what, I have not hit as an actor, so I went back to what my education was broadcast journalism.
Yeah. I'm kind of that way with this. I don't know how I'm ever going to make it in this field. Ted, give me about 10 more years. We'll see what happens. All right, guys.
We'll give you 10 years.
Yeah, you'll
Heck
make
yes.
it. Today is the day you look forward to, I know, National Knock Knock Joke Day.
Okay. Uh-oh. Here we go.
Well,
who's there?
We've talked about this before.
Who's there?
I got a few.
Okay. Give me labels.
How about Knock Knock?
Who's there?
Dwayne.
Dwayne who?
Dwayne the bathtub, mommy. I'm a drowning.
Okay. I got one for you. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Eucalyptus.
Eucalyptus? Who?
Eucalyptus hair too short. I swear my grandfather, Grandpa Grant, loved that joke.
All right. One more. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Rufus.
Rufus who?
Rufus, the most important part of your house. Knock knock joke day.
Oh,
you want
bad.
To really impress your friends? Use one of those on today. All right, hey, thanks for telling us about the monster.
Thanks for asking. It's fun to talk about.
Steve at 10 in the morning now, coming up 7 o'clock hour this morning. Thunderstorms rumble across south central Kansas. That story and more news at 7. Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS.